What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
I've done an escape room, but I didn't like it because there were too many people. And then,
like, how many is too many people?
I think there was like 8 or 9 of us.
Oh,
that's too many.
Yeah, yeah. Those in a tiny room. How big were the rooms? Where is it? Run room? I only have, they have my only frame of reference is this horror movie we just saw.
I don't know.
It's just
the best
one
frame
room.
Of reference.
Just one room. You're just escaping the one room.
Okay.
And it was like, I don't remember the theme. It was like, I feel like there was old timey stuff in it too, but I just was like, I was never. I don't know why. I like games. I like, you know, puzzles and like trivia and things like that, but like there was something about this that there was something about the act of you have to find something and like solve some riddle, there was something about like the way that we were doing it that I was just like almost immediately checked out. I almost like immediately was like, I hate this, I'm not participating.
See, for me, you can't lock me in a room.
No, you can't tell me I have to pretend that if I don't do this, I'm going to die. Because the fact is, I'm not.
Right.
And it's just like, and when people get people, but people still act up. They act crazy.
I don't think the point is for you to be so scared that you're trying to escape the room. Like, it's just like you're trying to solve the puzzle.
But like puzzle solvers, like they get really like excited and like crazy kind of.
Yeah.
And like to me, I'm just kind of like, I that energy, I'm just like, no, I'm just going to go sit here.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I just know that I would just go like sit in a corner.
That's exactly what I did.
I get really weird with like, and I would start to feel like it was a competition. Like I have to find all of the clues, and I would and that would be bad for me too. Because
you'd be hoarding clues,
right? Yeah,
right.
Like you're gonna solve it on your own.
I'll do it, and then I'll get out, and then everyone will know. I don't know what they'll know, but everyone will know.
Right,
is how I would feel.
Yeah,
I can't.
Once someone tried to convince me to do an escape room, like he owns escape rooms downtown, like this big tour thing, and he like exhaustively, because I would see him a lot where I worked, and he exhaustively tried to convince me, and I just had to straight up be like, I don't believe in escape rooms. Like, this isn't about your business.
I don't believe
in them. Like, I was like, I understand your business, you probably are the best in the biz. I was like, but there's just no way. I don't believe, like, I had to get so real, because he would keep being like, I'm telling you, like, you know, come in for free, I'll let you bring, and I was just like, dude, like, basically had to disrespect his profession, which I tried not to do for several months.
He forced you into it.
He forced my hand, honestly.
Yeah.
But how do you guys feel about scary movies in general?
I like them. I actually do like them. I don't like I don't know, Rob Zombie type things, but ones that are actually scary for whatever reason, like thrillers or like action or even like procedural kind of ones like this one, I do like if the acting is either really bad or really good.
Oh, yeah, like one or the other.
Yeah, it's either going to have like Nick Cage acting insane or be just like pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Me too, because I don't find myself going to see them a lot. Like, Like I saw this in theaters over the last year. I've seen three or four, mm-hmm. which is like the most, which is, and I don't think I had seen one before that in like 10 years or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, wow.
We saw in theaters.
Did you see Halloween?
Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, did you see Halloween?
The newest one, no.
Yeah, we saw Halloween together, and that was like maybe my second or third one of the year.
How'd you do?
I got through it.
Proud of you.
I liked it. I mean, the movie could have been better.
But you got through it, so you were proud anyways.
Good. Yeah.
It was pretty... My whole thing with scary movies is that they're almost like always not good. Not like great movies, but there's like this sweet spot of like, it's good enough to be interesting and bad enough to be like fun, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I like that it elicits like a physical response oftentimes. Cause a lot, I mean, yeah, you can cry in like sad movies and things like that. But like, if when I watch like scary movies, like sometimes I can be like kind of like sweating a little bit.
Right.
Or like oh, I get in this like mode and it's just like very interesting.
Yeah. It's like your adrenaline.
Going into this movie. Yeah. Your adrenaline. It's like
going,
pumping through you.
You're like pumping. You're like looking around. You're like thinking about escaping the room, you know, escape room.
Yeah.
Wow, no.
Which takes us full circle.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. That was Bray's horrible transition into starting the rest of the podcast. You added a "the," which also upsets me.
Oh man, honestly, that was real bad. I said escaping, which is not the real title. Guys, this is a terrible start. 2019. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Oh Seeing man, that does room. Make me want to escape room.
He did it again.
Yeah, so.
I mean, either we sit in it or we escape room.
That happened again.
All right, let's start the show.
Okay, great.
Jonathan Braylock, James III, Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is? Black men can't jump. It's not like
Black X, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
You want to play a game?
That's not this movie.
Do you want to play a game?
That's not. No.
Are you sure?
That's another
movie.
I think they said
there was a point where they were like, do you want to. And there's a guy with bullseyes on his.
Is that real?
I think that was in this movie. That was in this movie, right?
Oh my God.
I know
God.
Him.
Brianna knows him.
Knows who?
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw.
You know the guy who played Jigsaw?
I've like gone to dinner and like gone to lunch and like I've hung out numerous times.
Is he fun or is he frightening?
He's so, I went to a play with him. He's brilliant.
Wow.
He's brilliant. He started off in background acting in New York and... Worked with, anyways,
and now
whole
he's
thing.
The scariest person.
It's weird. I've never really seen the Saw movies.
I haven't seen them either.
So, but
he's
come
like
up he, to him on
he's
the
not
street.
A, he's like oh. not even really in the first one. He's like just like this whatever. But then he's like an actual character in the third one.
The
or
25 other
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, yeah, and in the most recent one too.
Yeah.
Right. Which I guess most recent the... being like 3 or 4 years ago. Right?
Anyway, that's not what we're doing. Hey.
Okay.
For those of you listening to for the first time, my name is Jonathan Braylock. Gerard Milligan isn't here.
And my name is James III.
Okay. Wow. Okay. We do have a special guest today.
We do.
Out in LA with James. I'm going to do the drums. Gerard usually does a terrible drum roll.
Yes.
But I got your back. We got something special today. Okay, you guys ready?
We're ready for it.
Here
we're
go.
Ready for it. Brianna Baker is in the building.
What up?
That was really good, and I know Gerard's gonna be upset when he listens to this. He does. They're really bad, Brianna. Just so you know.
Okay.
Really
okay. I was like, how?
I don't know, but.
Well, that was really good, and I really heard that cymbal.
Oh,
the cymbal is the best part. I've said that to him before. Every time he does the substitute drums, the cymbal is amazing.
Because people don't do that.
They don't do it, and it sounds like a real cymbal.
It does. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. There like, are levels.
You're like, oh shit, that was a real symbol.
Right.
Yeah. We are a film review podcast. This is Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. We're a film review podcast. We review films of leading black actors. We talk about it in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
That's right.
And today, we are reviewing the first movie of the year. It's called Escape Room.
Yes.
It came out...
Starring Taylor Russell, who Taylor is fantastic Russell. In this.
Did you see the new... Robinson family? Lost in
Space.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And she's fantastic in it.
Yeah. She's like a little genius child in it.
Yeah. She plays Judy, which is a fun character. And a fun character for her, I think.
Yeah. I think she's really good at playing a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she has a lot more like, she's way more ballsy in that show than in this movie, where she's like a timid. Yeah. But then she has to learn how to stand up for herself and speak out, let her voice be heard. Taylor Russell's in it. It also stars Jay Ellis of Insecure fame. This dude, Nick Dodani, he's the little geeky dude. He's in this show called Atypical, which is such a good show.
I saw season one of that show. Yeah, he's good in that.
Yeah, he's the best friend in that show. He's so funny in that. And then you have Logan Miller. I don't know. Has he been in anything else? He's the guy who starts.
He has. He has been in a few other things, like a bunch of other things. But I just looked it up and forgot.
apparently, he's in Love, Simon.
Yes, Love, Simon, which I haven't. That's why I couldn't remember because I haven't seen it. But he's in Love, Simon. He does a voice in the Marvel cartoons.
He
was on Walking Dead for a season or two. A season, probably.
Cool.
It stars a cast of people who have all acted before.
Yeah, Deborah Ann Wall, who's in the Daredevil show,
and in True Blood.
Yes,
that's where she broke on the scene.
Yes,
she was
so great in that. So and Tyler Labine, who I'm a very big fan of.
Yeah, he's in a lot of things, a lot of TV. Yeah.
Very big fan of his.
Excuse me. So this movie. It's a scary movie. Usually they don't rate too well, but it's got a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And 64 audience.
64 audience score, which is positive.
Right
it's like,
me.
Oh, we liked it.
Yeah.
But it made $18 million opening weekend. It only cost $9 million to make, so it already doubled its budget. Proving again that horror is usually the most profitable of genres because it costs so little to make, but people, there's always like a consistent crowd of people who will go and see them.
Yeah, and there's also something about the movie itself that feels like it has a higher budget than
that.
I was
just about to say, nothing about what I saw would make me think it felt like a big budget.
Yeah, it felt like they put money into it, you know?
And but you know what? They were all very contained rooms.
Mm-hmm, right,
so,
yeah.
When you really think about it, that probably has a lot to do with it, because location-wise.
Right. They probably just kept dressing the same set, like, different ways.
It just took, 6 months to make.
Right. because they have to tear this down and put this back up. Yeah. It's wild.
It's doing pretty well in the box office. Let's get into initial. I guess the basic premise of the thing is you have a bunch of people who were invited to come do an escape room, one of the hardest escape rooms ever built. And if they win, they get $10,000. And then they quickly find out that the escape room. If you don't win, you will die. Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, yeah.
It's a very
what
simple
more do you
premise.
Need, really?
There's really nothing
what
else
more do
to
you
it.
Need?
So shall we do initial thoughts? Rihanna, do you want to start
Rihanna,
us off?
Would you like to start?
I would. Do you mean like just initial over?
Yeah, over, and you can feel free to be as detailed as you want to be, but yeah, like overall.
Well, I have to say, like going into it, I wasn't like that excited because of how much I hate actual escape rooms.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I'm going to watch this. And then I think immediately when I saw how good the actors were, And kind of what James had said before, he feels like he's going to get, he was fearing he was going to get emotionally invested in everyone. And I was not fearing that. And so then immediately I just liked everyone. So I was like, oh, I'm actually going to like this movie. And I think, I mean, for me, it was like a really good movie of what it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I don't know. It was exactly what that movie should be. And I don't know what would have made it like better. I mean, because you're kind of at a ceiling when you're doing a movie about escape rooms. You know what I mean? Right. You're kind of at a ceiling of like joy. But yeah, I thought the acting was amazing, especially, I mean, all of the actors were amazing. They were exactly like what their type was. Mm-hmm. Which kind of like fed into like what you kind of know about them in the first place. So immediately when you see them, you know exactly what type they are. And so you were just clinked in, clinked to the link, clinked to the link.
Clinked to the link. Okay.
I liked how it built. I liked how everyone died specifically. I liked how it ended. I liked that open door policy of like, we might have an escape room too.
There and might guess be what? 10 more movies.
I was going to say, I think we have a Final Destination situation on our hands. We have a franchise that's going to like go into the ground. But like, I'm going to be there for the first like six.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel
for
about
the first
it.
Six.
For the first
that's so
six.
Many.
For
wow,
the first six, I missed.
Six so many.
Like, Fast and the Furious, what are we on? Like nine?
We're on nine. Okay. Nine is the next one, right?
Yeah,
let me tell
I'm
you.
Out.
Fast and the Furious. That is. Wow.
I saw eight first and I loved it.
No, you didn't.
But you see, that's a franchise that's into the ground.
Yeah.
And it's still working.
And it's still going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an anomaly. Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, it's really wild.
They literally had, it was like, the first movie like did pretty good. The second movie, I think, did a little better. The third movie was not good and didn't do well and had like none of the people really in it.
Yeah.
From the other two. And then the fourth one was like middling. It was like, people were like, oh my God, they're going to keep making these dumb things.
And
then
said,
the
yep,
fifth
sure
one
are.
Brought in The Rock, and it was like, no, this is actually the greatest franchise of all time.
Right.
Yeah, and Fate, right, is like one of the highest grossing movies of all time. Like, what?
Like, I think it's like 5, 6, 7, like 5, 6, 7, 8 have all made close to $1 billion. I mean, some of them have made over $1 billion.
That's so wild.
And that's what happens, you know? We could have one of those in our hands.
Yeah, Escape Room 7 is going to be fantastic. Bray, do you want to go or should I?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So, I like this movie. I think most horror movies are not good. There's a lot of dumb stuff that happens in it. I think this movie had dumb stuff that happened in it, too. But it was fun. I think the thing that makes it work the most are the actors in it. They were all like people you were kind of rooting for, except for maybe Jay, who they like very clearly set up to be the villain of the people in the group. But even him, he had like enough charm to go to last that you're just like, you still kind of wanted him to survive. I do think that for a movie about escape rooms and like clues and stuff like that, they could have had more interesting rooms. Like some of the clues and stuff were like pretty pedestrian and like not great. Like I'm especially thinking of the like the ice room, in which it was just basically finding things and then like melting ice with their hands, which I was like, well, that's that had nothing to do with like logic or wit. But I liked I definitely liked the backstory of like that they were all lone survivors. Like, that was a cool, fun thing. And there were some moments that were like, you know, scary and you're like, oh no, you know.
Oh no.
it was like the movie kept you engaged. I wasn't like super bored. So and I think a lot of that had to do with like, you know, what is all of their backstories, like why, like who brought them here for what purpose. The ending was a little bit disappointing, I think, because it felt a little lazy. Like, the writing felt a little lazy. But the acting was good enough that I'm like, yeah, like, let's see this again. Like, bring back some better writers. Like try a little harder. Like, really get into some of the escape room stuff, and it could be fun. Yeah, those are my initial thoughts.
Yeah, I'll just say, I think you both sort of hit the nail on the head in that, like, yeah, this is the escape room movie. Like, it's like, what else could they really do? And I 100% agree that the clues, like, either, like, the clues could have been better, or they could have even, like, sprinkled them in just a little bit more. Like, I didn't like in the first room where, like, the thing that was going to really save them, the clue was something that and I guess maybe this is also how escape rooms work. Like, you see the thing and then you go, let's try it right now. Let's try this thing right now. But they spent so much time in that room. It would have been nice if, like, the drink and the coaster thing could have just come up casually, like, oh, we have to always use coasters. There's nothing to drink around here, or whatever. Like,
right.
Even something small. Like,
it could have been planted a little bit.
Yeah,
earlier.
Planted a little bit earlier. You know, so that was something about it. I thought the acting was fantastic.
Right.
And I definitely think the rooms could have been a little bit more interesting. It was sort of like a really hot room, a really cold room, an upside down room. That's it. Like, you know, like, what's a weird room? Okay, that's where we're gonna be. But I found myself so invested in that first when the heat just started rising and everything, I was just like,
that was psychotic. I was truly like, everyone is not freaking out as much as they should be right now.
Oh, yeah,
because
definitely.
I would have been like, I think I should kill myself.
Yeah, we're in an oven. We're all in an oven, and we don't know what's going on.
And everyone's playing it cool, but also like that mannequin is melting.
Right. Like, yeah. Like, see, do we not see that? So yeah, and I thought I did. Oh my god, all the characters were like so strong. I did think they definitely overdid it with Jay Ellis in his first scene, and a little bit with Tyler Labine being like just like a dad. They were just like, let's just go hard on every single one of his dad lines. They're like, let's have 10 in every in every.
He was
scene.
The one that was the most corny,
right? It was like, okay, we get who he is, we get it. But yeah, and then I could have done without the 10 endings. Why were there 10 endings? The movie ended 10 times.
It really did.
It was like, they were like, it's done. No, it's not. We have one. We have another scene. But the open-ended nature of it is fun. Like, I like the idea that it feels like it's going to be fun. You know, as scary as it was and as thriller as it was, it's going to be fun to see it happen again. So I'm looking forward to that.
Cool. So yeah, let's get it started. I mean, the movie starts pretty well, right? It starts with, we don't know it at the time, but it starts with basically a scene from the end of the movie where some dude, we start in like a very typical looking escape room, and then some dude like falls from the ceiling like into this room and immediately starts freaking out. He's like, what are the clues? What do I need to do? Okay, there are numbers, or there's 10 numbers, and he's looking around
knowing the trailer and knowing what we're about to get into, starting the movie this way was wildly exciting.
Yes.
I was like so scared for this guy.
It was like a classic opening of a scary movie.
Yeah.
And then they like take you back to like a school.
Right. We're like, but that guy.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, but we're on a college campus.
Right. Right. And like the beginning of this movie, I think, has the, like, the, what's crazy is that this last, this, like, the beginning of this movie is like the most escape room esque. It's like, he goes over, he immediately like spots like, okay, there are 10 numbers. What do I have to do? And he like hits something and then the room starts moving and he's like, and it's like, oh, flip. Like, he's going to get crushed to death if he doesn't figure out these clues. And he's like, okay, all right, where's the clue? I got to find a clue. All right. And then he sees a thing and it's like greener pastures and he's like, what? And then you see like a green book. He's like, oh, it's the green book. And it like opens that. And then it's like whatever, some other riddle, like the hands of the clock of the blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, hands of a clock. All right. Oh, wait. Oh, there's all these other pictures and he's pointing down. Okay. That's the number. Oh, that's a corresponding number. But okay. 1, 2, 3. You know, freaking out and does his thing.
And I think you hit the nail on the head and like this did feel the most escape roomy. Like, it's this. Is it this? Let's try that.
Like a sequential, like answering of questions as opposed to.
Right. As opposed to like, is this something? And then, like, kind of like, sitting with it for 15
like
minutes
by yourself in a corner and then you come back to the group.
Right
Yeah. And it's like, it's fast paced, it's whatever, you know the stakes, you're scared, you don't know who this person is, but you're like, this is the beginning of the movie, so like clearly this dude's gonna die. And he like,
and that scream,
and we don't understand
that scream
yeah
was tomb. It was like like that scream that I can't even
That horror movie scream.
That horror
and
scream.
And seeing him like pinched in pinched there like in. That. And it's an image from the trailer too, which we talk about how trailers can sometimes ruin a movie. I definitely think that like that being in the trailer and then that also being the way the movie starts, it actually like, we're all building towards, once we see him in two scenes later, we know that we're building towards that moment.
Right.
In a way that like adds so much
like you need
stress.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking that when that happened, like when we immediately switched to the campus, I was like, whoa, that has set a fire.
Yeah. Yeah. We're on a train towards seeing at least this guy getting squished. Like we're definitely on that train.
Right. So here's my thing, though, is that I kind of hate that it was, I didn't like that it was a dude that, I didn't like that it was setting up that this scene was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have much rather it have just been some random guy who was failing one of these escape rooms, and we know, like, the stakes of these things that they don't know.
Yeah.
Because then, well, here's the thing. It didn't bother me because my mind actually played a trick on me, and I literally was like, "Oh, I guess that was a different guy," and I just didn't think about. I what literally it was just for- like, "Wow, they got like two white guys who look very similar in this movie." Some dude who died
already.
It was
like so implausible to you.
And this other guy is like, is this his brother? Like, I didn't, like, I was like trying to figure out like who this other person was. And like, my mind just refused to be like, no, that's just a flash forward. Like,
well, what it did for me, which as much as I was just talking about how much I liked that we knew that we were building towards this, because it was nice and it did create like a sense of uneasiness for me throughout the movie. But it also made me, I checked out a couple different times because I kept trying to solve the clue because I kept being like, why did he get it wrong? So there would be moments in the movie where I would stop and then be thinking, you know, he had to do the hands on the clock, watch another friend die. What did he do wrong? And there were moments where I kept being like, oh, maybe it was this. Oh, maybe it was this. Like just random other moments in the movie.
I feel like you're supposed to do escape rooms because there's not one point when I thought about it ever again. Like even at the time, I was like, trash, who cares?
No, I kept thinking, I'll tell you all the moments as we get through them.
I also don't know why he got it wrong.
Yeah, it makes no sense. doesn't make any sense.
But okay, so that's the beginning. And then... Yeah, then we cut to what's her Taylor?
Taylor, yeah. Zoe is her character.
Zoe. And she's in class and learning about the quantum something theory, which is such a funny like little trope of, I don't know if it's horror films or just like, I just love when like people like throw out some like scientific theory and then you're like, and they like explain it in layman's like terms, and then like that,
of course,
that is the theme of the movie somehow, or like an important thing. And it was like, like the theory is essentially like, oh, the if you're looking at molecules, they don't behave.
A system can't change if you're looking,
if you're looking at it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That was great. Which I was like, this is fantastic.
Which I don't know. Like, and then there was a part of me that was like, is that the right interpretation of that scientific
theory. It doesn't
matter.
What are you doing?
No, because like the thing that he was talking about, I'm pretty sure, is the fact that it's like the opposite. It's that like when you look at molecules, you're actually affecting them. So just by looking at a molecule, you're changing those molecules.
And so we
actually can't there is no real objectivity, because when you're looking at something, you're affecting it in some way, so it's not objective. You know what I mean? Like, we can't observe something.
Right, but maybe it means, and again, I don't know, but maybe it means that it can't change in the way that it's supposed to, or it can't, you know what I mean? Like, it can't evolve or grow or change.
It can't
how
behave.
It is supposed
right.
to behave. Yeah.
Like, it can't behave normally. It can't behave how it normally would because you're looking at it. If you don't look at it, it'll behave in a
different way. A watch pot never boils.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the point, is a watch pot never boils.
Yeah,
you know?
So.
Okay. Anyway, so we learned that little theory. I mean, I guess she has like a little crush on her teacher. Her teacher's like, you know, hey, you got to speak up in class more. I know you know this stuff, which is a funny. I mean, it's like a lesson that you're like, okay, like, why do you care? I don't know.
Yeah,
this is a big.
But she
college
did
class.
Know the answer. That
also,
was cool.
And no one in that class was talking. Let's just be very clear.
Right.
Yeah. He said that, and like, no one said one word. So I was like, I kind of think the vibe of this class is no one is talking.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's your deal, dude?
Right.
Like, why haven't you gotten anyone to speak in your class?
Right. Yeah.
Of course, the number one genius isn't going to talk.
Also,
she's like more.
Did anybody else think about like why is she's like so clearly so much smarter than everyone else in her class, and so much smarter than her roommate? And there was a part of me that's like, this isn't high school. She's in college. Like, which college did she go to?
Yeah, like,
does she not have money?
Why did she
like,
end up here? Yeah, yeah.
Like, why didn't she in a college where there are also other smart people? Like, she shouldn't be the only one who gets giddy about science.
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe, I mean, but in thinking about her character, maybe, you know, her being on the news for the thing that happened to her.
That got her.
You know, she just is, she keeps,
she's hidden.
She's hiding
hidden.
Herself.
She's hiding.
Yeah.
She's hiding.
Yeah.
Amongst like stupid people.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I got to be around all these idiots.
So yeah, and then we very quickly, like, she has like almost an hallucination where her room starts shaking, and we see that she was in some sort of plane crash. And she wakes up from her nightmare, and her roommate's there, and his roommate's like, all right, I'm leaving, like, you know, I hope you do something over Thanksgiving break.
Yeah. And her roommate's doing all kinds of like sexual innuendo, like just right away for no reason.
For
like,
no reason.
You gonna fuck this weekend?
Yeah.
It's like, why are you?
And you know what? They did a really good job, I have to say, of the nightmare room. Cause like the dorm room in the nightmare, they had a sink like in the center of the room and the lighting was like orange. And before I knew it was a dream, I was like, what kind of dorm room is this?
Yeah.
And then when we realized she like woke up, and I was like, are you about to tell me that sink is not really in the center? Because that is some dream stuff. That's what dreams are like.
Yeah.
It's like a sink is in the center of your dorm room. And then it was like a totally normal dorm room. And I was like, okay. Okay. I approve of this.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so that's her. And then we jump over to Jay, who's a businessman who like closes a deal.
Yo.
On the phone. Dude.
It's business.
He's a closer.
Corner office. The windows are all wide open. He's, you know.
Zingers.
Yeah, zingers.
Objects in his
right.
hand.
Bluetooth in his ear.
You know, gets this deal closed. And his, I did appreciate that he had a white intern assistant. I thought that was like a little nice touch. I don't know what the movie was trying to be intentional with that. That was cool.
No, that was on purpose. That was definitely on purpose.
and then he gets the gift, right? what else do we
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have, but it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate
when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know,
I got the shakes, and you know the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009, and in April, soon to be May, and mm-hmm. I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide, and I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in, like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting mm-hmm. in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. But sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling. And I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Yeah, I can't remember if we meet the next guy first, like if we meet Ben and then everyone starts getting their gifts, or if he also gets the gift in that.
I think he finds out he's going to get a gift, but he doesn't know what it is yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we eventually cut back to the gift.
Right, right. But in this scene with Ben, which I also really like, because now we know this guy, we know him, and we know that he is, out of everyone we've seen so far, he's like down on his luck. Like he has to work in the back off. They're like, you can't be in the front.
That's like truly the worst.
Yeah, yeah. And he wants to be up front, which is right. Like, you know, whenever we see like the character archetype that he that people see him as, we're always like, fuck that guy. But he's like, no, I like want to be in the front.
And he's like, I need to move out of my mom's house. Right. It's like really hard on her. I could use the extra cash. And you're like, damn. His mom's basically like, get out of my house.
And knowing that he is dead right now made it really sad for me. Like knowing that he was like gonna die, I was like, oh no. Like, poor him. But yeah, like I thought and then I think the gifts happen right after this.
Yeah, because then we end eventually with him
getting one. Yeah. And what I liked about that was, and I don't know if this is really great structure or not, but I liked that, like, I thought they did a really good job of introducing these first three people and knowing that we have to meet three more people or two more people. I can't remember now. Two more people.
We meet three it's more nice. People.
We meet three more people. It's nice that, like, it's like, yeah, okay, we get to know them, and then I know we're going to, like, casually get to know the other three. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
In a kind of setup as, like, oh, these three, like, one of these three is going to be the person who lives by the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It immediately tells you the others are... Not going to make it.
Which is what scary. I mean, that's what most scary movies do. Most scary movies are like, it's good. Like these people are the people who are probably going to survive, and then like everybody else is expendable, and you know people are going to die. So you don't know who's going to die first, but you're always like, all right, like somebody's going to die. Like clearly somebody has to die to show them that this game is real.
Right.
And you want people to survive, but they won't. So then like, yeah, it's like a pretty simple, short setup. Like we get all of their kind and we don't wait, but the thing is, I don't know if we like, if we surmise that Jay has some like past history. I forgot if they like drop that hint, 'cause they do with, Taylor's character and they do with Ben.
Yeah, but I don't think they do.
They just show the thumb scar. You see that thumb scar, and they really did a close-up on it, mm-hmm. like, in the beginning right. of his, like, office thing, you right. know? And so you clearly are like, that didn't come from nothing, but you don't know where the darkness lies.
Right.
Yeah. Like, whether it was against him or he was part of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But something went down.
Yeah. And then, we're outside of the building. We get introduced to... what's her name? Amanda.
Deborah Ann Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amanda.
And she's like asking Ben, hey, is this the thing? And he's like, yeah. He's smoking outside and she goes in, has to give her cell phone. The guy says, thank you for your service, which she's like.
Which is like, don't do that.
I know. So looming. Well, and also that she was in the military.
Yeah,
before knowing that, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, he's like, see you later.
Right.
But like now looking back, it could be that he knows that you were in the military.
100%.
Which is making, you know what I mean? Which was why it was weird to her, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
It's both. It's like, she knows that he's saying it for the military thing, but the mm-hmm. audience, we are like, oh, he's saying right. that because she's about to freaking die.
Die.
Right, and you're like, rude. Rude, very sir. Rude. I was immediately like, that is very disrespectful.
Yeah. And so this first room is just this waiting room. And when they're waiting and he's like, I want to go get another cigarette, he goes to open the door and the handle comes off and they're all like making. And like immediately, like they're all comfortable enough with like making fun of each other. Like that's like a thing that just. They just all just like keep making fun of each other.
And it's specifically like Danny, they constantly make fun of him, and then they're already over like Tyler Labine's dadness. Like right? Like
his dadness. They're like they're making fun of Danny for being like a nerd, and like everybody just hates Ben for like no reason. They're just like Ben is like,
oh right, that's right, like, that's right. They hate him for they just hate him.
They're just like Ben is a loser. We don't like him. And then everybody's also like Jay's kind of a dick, and they note that too.
Yeah, but they kind of like it.
they still fall in line, like societal line of like, but we're not going to come for you.
Right? Yeah, we'll whatever you say will do, sir.
Literally in my theater, Jay said something like a joke that wasn't really that funny. Like he made some joke about video games or whatever. And somebody in my audience, like some young person, just says out loud, "He's so funny."
No.
Well, he said, "I have sex with adult women."
You're right. I have like, to pass the time.
Yeah, I think that's what
he's
it
like,
was.
You don't play video games? No, I have sex with adult women instead, or something like that.
He's so funny. No,
he's so funny. And then all of our like the whole audience laughed.
That's like such a cliche joke too.
It was just like a hot guy like being quote unquote funny and people are laughing and you're like, that's the most unfunny thing I've ever heard. People are like, oh my God, you're crazy. Jay, you are so crazy.
What I didn't like in this scene, or, and I said this to Brianna after the movie, but I didn't like that there were times that it was like very clear that things were happening, that they would see things in the room that was like, this is based on your life. Remember how based on your life this is, and like no one would say anything about it. Like they would be like, it's and I've never done an escape room, but it's like that moment when you have a clue and you found a clue, but you are not telling anybody that you found this clue. Like any kind of thing that is like, it's like there's no coincidence that you were invited to this thing, and now you're looking at something that is
like directly pulled from
your life.
The only thing that I would say is that everyone had PTSD, like very severe PTSD from being the lone survivor, and like where the darkness came from with a lot of them had to do with them specifically and their actions and something to be ashamed of, and that they all had categoric PTSD. So what I would say is, you know, I think if you were to give it the slide, it would be like because it was like trauma related,
right,
and then they were also being traumatized.
Right. Yeah. And I don't even know what I would say.
Really, like, they would all probably just black out.
Yeah. But. Is this in my head? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I loved this sequence, though. The sequence was so good, and so scary.
Yeah. And I will say this too. I don't know why. I mean, like obviously, I know that this was like a deadly game or whatever, but immediately when they showed that dial with the numbers, immediately I looked at that and I was like, oh, that's an oven.
Like, yeah, they did too. They said they were like, it's an oven dial.
So but did they say it before they turned it on?
Before they turned it on, they said it looks like an oven dial. I mean, we know that they're all gonna die, so we know it's really an oven.
So we're like this, y'all are in an oven.
Yeah.
I was like, that looks like an oven dial. And when she was like, put it to 451, I was like, that's stupid.
Because she saw Fahrenheit 451, and she was all like,
"Ugh." Yeah, and it feels like a not smart thing to do, but then also it's like she doesn't know that they're all gonna die.
Yeah, of course. Like, could you?
Right. Escape room mode. It's a game.
You know, it's like we've just seen an oven dial, and then we've just read a degree on a book. Okay, it makes sense.
Let's set it to 451.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah,
she would think like, oh, they're just going to turn the heat up.
I definitely didn't think they were all getting out of that first room, and I was like,
neither did I.
Pleasantly surprised that they did.
I'm glad they did, though, because everyone was such a good actor that I was kind of like, you know?
Yeah, and because of in the trailer, I just remembered a moment in the trailer of Danny taking a picture of himself in the cold room. And knowing that the cold room was probably next because he's taking a pic. Like, why would you take a selfie after someone clearly died? Like, wouldn't do that.
And you already know he's like going basically first.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's pretty clear. This setup is like, this one's going.
This guy's going to die. Yeah. He's the one who knows escape rooms and he loves this place.
Right.
He's dead. So that was what made me think that they were all getting out of the. But I also thought that maybe Mike was going to like go back somehow and hold all the things and burn alive or something.
And do dad.
Yeah. Be a dad. Yeah.
Do dad diligence.
Yeah. Anything else about this first room we wanted to say?
It was just hard on me.
Yeah.
It was just hard on me to like picture that.
It was
like,
tough.
Like burning alive. That was hard.
Yeah,
And I was really glad to be out of it.
Yeah. That was the hardest. I think that was the scariest room.
Yeah.
I was sweating. Burning alive and not even from like catching fire, you know, from like just heat.
Yeah.
Like that's going to take so much time. Like I would try to like break my head.
Yeah.
And your skin.
And all,
your skin would start burning. You know what I mean? It's like it would start melting
would
your
cook.
Skin.
Like, you would like actually cook.
Mm-hmm. And I think knowing that Amanda was in a some kind of burning accident.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was like
and they
so
set up,
much.
And they showed you the burns because as it like heated up in the room, she had to take her jacket off and you saw that she had a back of, you know, third degree burns that it healed. I was just picturing like that trauma and I was
for
like,
her,
no.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, you can't even.
Yeah. Yeah, that was too much for me.
Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, but then I said, guess what? Buckle up.
Yeah, because here we go.
Buckle up.
This is the first room. we just, that was the first room.
That was
okay?
the first room and I'm sweating.
And so they get into another room. It's like a cabin. There's all these antlers. I totally thought somebody was going to get impaled by antlers.
I would say seeing the decapitated head on the clock wall that we see later when the guy's trying to, I was like, Mike's head's going to get chopped off. Like, I just thought that in that scene, that was going to happen for some reason.
Yeah. But none of that happens. It's another clue of like, we see a flashback with Ben and that he was in a car accident. And we were like, oh, when he said your friends, that was triggering because he killed a bunch of his friends because he was drunk driving.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The heat and the fire in the first one didn't feel specific.
Yeah.
Like it felt like more like random and like, oh, she's super traumatized. But then when we saw the clues tied to his, you're like, oh, this is like specific
very
to
specific.
Him.
And it felt so exactly. They were literally singing You'll Go Down in History as the car crash happened. It felt so evil. That's such an like, evil thing.
Right. And then I don't know if we ever found this out, but like when he was saying like that was the song that was playing, like it made you be like, was it in the police report?
Right. How
like,
did
like,
they
like is this person a godlike figure?
Oh,
like
right.
have
totally.
You said this to anyone?
We
you know what I mean?
Right.
And we don't know the answer to that, which I think is also interesting because it was just like so specifically traumatizing.
Yeah, very scary. The game master figure is frightening in this movie because we have no idea how they know to the detail of like these moments that people were by themselves.
Right. And this is like the second room to where they're like, yeah, it's about to get like this specific.
Yeah.
And then you're like, buckle up again.
Again. Put on a second buckle
up again. We're going deep in the trauma. The recesses of their mind.
Oh my God.
He's like reminding them of stuff and they're like, oh wait, that did happen. I was like, okay. It's dark.
But they do. It is Rudolph, and they get out of that room because of Rudolph.
And he solves it because he had to be like, because he was the only one that could have solved it. I mean, not the only one, but him having to tap into how crazy this is what got them out of the room.
Yeah.
And then you said, okay, well, he could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. I'm still wondering whether or not I liked the idea that the people wouldn't tell them that this was a deadly game.
Going into it,
like once they're locked in the room and just being like, is it because of the Jigsaw element of it? Of like, oh, this will be too much like Jigsaw if there's somebody speaking to them and telling them like, if you don't do this, you'll die.
Right.
I think the oven. I mean, it became like pretty specific to where it's like the minute you turn on like something that hot, you're like, this isn't a joke. And I think escape rooms are very well, at least in the pretend one I was in, like that,
because these
feeling,
are the real ones are what we saw in this movie.
Yeah, the feeling of like being like put in a room and being like, that's it,
yeah,
figure it out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like these are the rules, figure it out, like that thing, because you want to like talk back, like you want to be like, okay, but I don't know.
I liked the sort of hopelessness and helplessness of it all, like them not having someone to talk to. When we actually get a game master voice, I was like, I don't like this part.
No,
I was like, I didn't need this.
Off.
Oh no, definitely.
So,
I mean, we'll talk about that, but
yeah, and I imagine that it would have felt like too much like Saw had they introduced that earlier.
But they could have had like a sheet of paper that was like, you're going to die. Well, I guess like I feel like the oven room should have been effective, but then you still had what's his name being like, no, it's not real. And like, they weren't acting like, guys, like, this is crazy. We're going to die if we don't figure this stuff out. Because there was less of an urgency. And then, like, it was like they're cold. Totally. And I don't know. This room lost me a little bit. I felt like there was a dip for me in this, like, in the cold room. Because also, in terms of the clues and stuff, they just were finding things. Like, it wasn't...
Yeah.
There wasn't anything super logical. It was just like, hey, I found a fishing rod. It's like, oh, I found this magnet. You know, oh, my foot broke through an ice hole.
Right. And I think, like, I think that part of...
My foot broke through an ice hole. Part
of this, I mean, I guess that's a clue. The clue is my foot fell through an ice hole. I think that, like, and I think that part of this was, like, they had trouble trying to balance, like, how do we get Jay's story into this, and how do we also make this an escape room, you know? And I think that they did a good job of putting in the seeds of what was going on with Jay, but I don't think they did as... It was not nearly as effective as, like, say the fire room not actually being specific to Amanda, but feeling connected to her, you know?
Right.
And there still being clues that they need to find. They definitely did better with that room than they did with the cold room, for sure.
Yeah. I was, like, once again, rationalizing things for myself as watching the movie, and I was like, oh, so because... like the cold and hypothermia is so debilitating to the mind, these are like very literal, like, things that you have to do to get out of this room. It's like, because, you know, like,
yeah, it's
key,
like fear factor,
like having to do like the key thing. It was just like such a literal answer of like, no, you have to melt the ice,
right? Yeah,
but like, there aren't like all of these things to it, and like, they were so like disoriented that I don't think they could have done anything. Like, their brains like had like no brain capacity because they were so cold. So it just had to be like, okay, we got to do this one thing. This is like one thing we got to do. So in my mind, I was like, okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and there was less specificity to the ice holes, except for the fact that they were all somehow connected to Ben. But that was it. Like, there was no one, like, in the oven room, anytime you solved something, it got hotter. Right. But with this, it was just like, well, okay.
It was just like anything. And I want to say that lighter thing, when things aren't crazy, I want to say, is that because they were going to try to melt the ice with something not from the game?
Oh,
like,
maybe.
Yeah, I felt like it was because they were using something, and because it, like, until that point, it was just a lighter.
Yeah,
and the minute someone went to use it to take it back, it was like
no, you're dead.
No, totally. Like, you're dead.
Because they killed him. Because they, like, blew up the ice underneath him.
Yeah, which was true. Just like, this is a really high production escape room.
Right, yeah.
That you have the power to just blow up any
just
part.
Just that spot.
Just any part of the ice.
In a perfect circle.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And what a way to do it. Not crack it below.
Yeah.
But blow it up to the top. And then someone's going to fall in the hole. Which really, wouldn't they blow up too?
Into
the sky? Like, they would blow up somewhere else as opposed to falling into the hole?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
You know, there's my qualm. But,
and then they melt it, and then they go through the room, and then it's another door, and you know, we see Jay go crazy, and then we're in the next room.
Yeah, I had blown it down.
Yeah, and also somehow none of them get hypothermia.
Right. Well, and you know, he starts reacting somewhat disorientated from it.
They would have had frostbite, and that's just like the real
they
thing.
They all would have had frostbite.
They all would have had like very severe frostbite, and like. Frostbite, like, it's like when they just walk in the other room and they're like, it's like, no, you're gonna feel like your feet are on fire, like your hands are on fire, like,
and you're not gonna be able to use them that well, especially not well enough to do all of the things that they had to do in this next room.
And when you're like hanging, it's like, no, your hand, like, you guys can't change like how bodies react to like cold, like, you made that room like that,
so
we know it was for a long time,
right?
Because you had to melt the cube.
There were heat lamps right in that alcove that they walk into, but like,
but
that's not gonna
but
do
you
anything
see, that
that's not gonna change
even,
their mental state.
That would have been even harder though, because you can't take like flesh that's like freezing
right
to like that hot. You, the person, I mean, they would have been like writhing in agony.
Yeah, yeah. It makes no sense.
But you know, that's either here nor there.
You're right. And, then they're upside down and they're like, okay, let's just answer this phone. And, and then Amanda's going to like climb over all everything.
Over everything. Yeah. I really liked seeing how strong she was.
That was great.
I really liked seeing that.
That was great. And like, and knowing that she was in the army, it's sort of like, we're like, yeah, she's the one that can
do this. Like she would do this.
Right.
Especially like, well, it would either be like, she would just let go and jump into the hole from the trauma or what she did
I had a lot of trouble with this room, I have to say. And this is speeding up to how it ends because, but so I saw the Poseidon Adventure when I was, I don't know, six or something. And there are two parts of the Poseidon Adventure that I can't deal with. And it's the part when the Olympian like risks her life. She's like, I can do it. She's a former Olympian. She swims through everything. Cause she's like, I can do it. I won the Olympics. I will get us through this. Right. And then the other part is when homeboy like climbs across things, swings the, he like twists a lever and then just falls to his death. He had to twist the lever for everyone else to get out and then falls to his death. And this sequence was a combination of those two moments from Poseidon Adventure, and it really got me. Okay, she is a war hero.
Right.
And she climbs through all the things, and the moment that she's sitting on the pool table and looking, and everyone is by the exit, and she isn't, I was just like, I hate this.
I was like very upset. I cried. I don't know why. It got really weird. And I just thought about when James said getting emotionally attached. I said it happened.
Yeah. Like you just, movies like this, it's like you know. Just going to fall in love with somebody or everybody.
She's just the most lovable person.
Like, it was too much.
It was. And the hardest part for me was when she like said his name, like Jay's name.
Yeah.
Like to be like, I'm going to throw you the ball, like threw it. And then she just kept saying, it's okay, it's okay.
That was
like,
too
like when she resigned to that she was going to die and was like, it's okay. I was like, is it for them? Is it for her? It's probably for them because she doesn't even want them to feel bad.
Yeah, like what? And Zoe is like, does not want it.
Zoe
to for whatever
Zoe
reason, she's like,
in.
I love you and want you to survive this.
It was like she needed it more.
Yeah.
It was like crazy. And you could just see her being like, no, you can do this. You can do it. And I was like, oh my God.
She's not, we all know she's not going to do it.
She actually can't.
She cannot
do it.
It's not
physically possible. Right. And I don't know if it's helping her that you're saying it is.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, just grab on. It's like, what are you talking about?
What do you mean?
You're like this. I have a phone. Yeah. I'm hanging on to a phone.
And the second her weight, if say her, she can grab the pool cue. The second her weight is on that bin, you're both falling into the abyss.
There was zero chance.
It's zero. It's just zero, which is the lowest percentage.
There's no percentage.
Yeah. So I was just traumatized. I was just like, there's a lot of emotional trauma going on here, and everyone's reacting in their own special way. And I said, I'm just crying. And I just started laughing because I said, I went to escape room. And I cried.
And I didn't know that this is where we were going to be, but we're here now.
Right. And here we are.
It was too much.
And I said, buckle up again.
This is the third buckle.
This is the third buckle. I'm strapped in.
Yeah, that was probably the hardest death. Because I didn't want what's-his-name to die either, but the way that he died was like so like, oh, yeah, I fell through the ice.
No,
like,
truly.
Mike? Yeah. Tyler Labine's character. Yeah, I didn't want him to die either, but it was like, wasn't the way.
But you know what? I felt like the way that he died was kind of the least traumatic.
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, is that right?
Well, he's murdered.
Well, just, I
and
mean,
doesn't
I just,
want it, and
just
does
mean,
not want
to
do
I
it.
I just mean, like, as a, like, it was like,
but I feel like,
if you had that happen to your heart, like, something, like, if you're, like, defibrillated, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, your body's going to go into, like, a very, like, transcendental state pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Just meaning like, well, whether you wanted it to happen or not, it's not like someone's like sawing your leg off.
Right.
Like
you kind of just pass.
You kind of just like go.
He was
murdered though.
He was definitely murdered.
He was 100% murdered.
But wait, before we get to his death though, I have to just ask because I actually missed this part of the movie and I'm very upset. I remembered that I needed to text my wife something. So I had to like pause and I had to text her something at this exact moment. What caused Zoe to start hitting all the lights? Oh. Why did she decide like, what's that? Oh, quantum theory. Okay, great.
She literally was like,
when things are being watched,
she literally
and
was
you
like,
you know what?
Yeah.
This is the best thing. This is like literally like what you talk about. Like, if you miss that one part,
yeah,
that is it. Yeah. So the realizing that they're being watched, like they're able to like orchestrate everything because they can see like what they're doing in the game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you just keep doing what they're doing, you're not going to get out. You have to,
if you let them see you, like she was like killing all the cameras because she's like, they're like watching everything that we're doing to like, as opposed to just, you know what I mean? So,
oh, great.
Like,
and then, so then knocking out all the cameras allowed her to do what she ends up ultimately doing.
Exactly.
Oh, amazing.
You see?
I'm so mad I didn't hear.
Which made sense. But it was like, and like, this was a really good scene because one, I totally understand everybody else looking at her and being like, she's lost it. She's insane. You know, she's doing something that's insane. We need to figure out these clues to get out of the room because what they didn't fully understand that she already did was that there was only going to be one person to survive this.
Like, yeah.
I'm not 100% sure how she came to that conclusion. Like, that conclusion was more apparent in the ice room than it was in
In that room is also when they learn that they're all soul survivors and they all talk about that. And then I think it's in that room where she says they want to find out who's the luckiest
You're right.
So it's like that's where that it didn't come from the room necessarily, but it came from them all sharing.
But like all
that
of their hospital beds had been like perfectly replicated
in
that room. And so then they're all going through their own PTSD. And then they're like, my bed. They're like, my bed. And at first I was like, wait, what do your beds look like? And then I was like, hold on, the hospital stays. and then you can see like all
like,
of like
why
the
are you
wheels
sleeping
turning
in these beds?
Right. It's like what that and like some of them were like so disturbing looking.
Yeah.
Like the kid in the drunk driving accident, I was like, why does your bed look like it's Vietnam?
Yeah. Was he in war?
Like
what?
That later. And what I also think was interesting is even though I knew what she was doing, I still was like, you're acting crazy.
Yeah,
no, me too.
You're still a part. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they do a really
like
good job.
The room's going to fill out with poisonous gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she had just kind of like lost her mind.
Yeah.
Like from Amanda. So it was like, they really set up that, like, you know, there could be no payoff for this.
Right.
And I don't know why I thought there might not be.
Right. Yeah.
But I was just
yeah.
kind of like, wow, that's interesting.
Go ahead.
She does like foam at the mouth.
Right. That's it.
Well,
but they do show the oxygen wire as they pan away from her. And it was like, what's that oxygen wire about?
I think that there was one oxygen mask in that room, which I think they don't set that up or show us that because they want us to be on the journey. But because she put all the things out, she knows that they probably saw. Like, they're like, oh, she's whatever. But I don't know if she got to that. Like, they don't explain, like, how she actually got to that.
Yeah.
Because all the cameras should have been out
by
the time she's foaming at the mouth. But, hey, guess what? Maybe she's an actor.
Yeah.
Maybe she's doing a little acting.
And they in the next room, they are talking about how she died.
Yeah.
They, like, in the next room, they go, she's dead.
Right.
And we see
but
her
she also
foam
knows
at the mouth and pass out on the floor. So we think she's dead, too.
So we think she's dead also.
Right. But maybe she had to do that because she knew that was the room where there were no cameras. Like had to stay behind in that room.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right. This is the room because I've destroyed all the cameras.
And like otherwise you're back on the radar.
My goodness. This was crazy. This was
mayhem.
Crazy. But I did like the scene and the progression of it. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Right. Well, she was right. Like they all potentially could have survived that room, but they wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But then only one of them would have survived that last room because there was only one antidote.
Exactly. I mean the structure of this was for someone to then just get squished in the regular escape room at the end. Like that was like always supposed to happen, right?
They're
like, and that would put them in one final room where if they don't figure this out, they'll get squished.
They'll just squish. And it's a squish.
In a couple of minutes. You know, it was
like,
super
it's not,
fast.
This is not fair. This room is malarkey.
Yeah.
This room it's is poppycock malarkey. And absolute malarkey. And it doesn't matter because no one can tell the tale.
Right. They will not live.
It doesn't check out.
I appreciated in this warped room that Ben takes a moment to tell Jason that he has the antidote before Jason goes crazy. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Well, he literally is like, I think it's like a hot second. And he's like, I have the Anna, boom, and he gets hit.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like, you know, it's just one moment to show that he's not a monster.
He's not
right,
a monster.
He's not a monster.
Guess who is?
Jason's a monster.
Jason's a monster. And we've known it. And then by that time, we know like further, where like the flashbacks change.
Yeah.
You know, because like you realize that the flashbacks can kind of be manipulated by like their memory. And then you see like what was actually reality.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God. He's a monster. Buckle up again.
Oh my God, there's four buckles. Why have we buckled up so many times?
But I'm still shaken.
I kept unbuckling my buckle thinking it was okay.
And then you said, no, actually I got 10 endings.
there are 10 endings. Okay.
Yeah.
And I also thought that it was inventive, like this room was inventive.
I loved
it. They're on drugs.
I
and also
love
the room,
that room.
The room is moving around, yeah. But also like is giving them some weird optical illusion.
Yeah, because it also kind of gives them a little bit of a break from like how horrible things have been, because there are parts when they're like kind of laughing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jason more so because I think he's pure evil.
Yes.
But like I was just kind of like, oh my God, they're getting a little bit of relief from the reality because of like the drugs that they're
right,
on.
Yeah.
I was honestly like, the person that dies that way, that's not that bad.
Yeah, they're good. Because
once again, you're just like on drugs.
Yeah.
That's like not the worst
that's
way.
It's not the worst way to go.
Well, he gets murdered.
But then he gets murdered, and I did not like this. I did not like that there were like two murders in a row. Didn't like that. And I understand it was somewhat an accident. Like it's not like he could tell that ceiling was a little bit lower because they're seeing weird squiggles all over the place. But I didn't like that it was like these two deaths are just two murders in a row instead of like the room doing it.
I didn't like it either. And here's the other reason I didn't like it is because what's the point? Like there was a part of me that was like, why are they switching from can these people solve this stuff before they die to will these people kill each other to survive?
But to be fair, you guys, this is an escape room to the death.
Yeah.
What about Jason would make you think he wouldn't murder someone?
Right.
He already has.
No,
but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people act crazy.
For
in
sure.
escape rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And especially one to the death.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how you up the ante in a movie like this.
Yeah.
Is you start, like, not only, like, you are always on the same team. That's not how it works because you're not on the same team.
100%. And I agree with that. And I think, like, and again, this is the second time that I think that the writing sort of slipped a little bit because they're trying to tell Jason's story. Like, I don't think it needed to be that he actually killed someone.
Right.
In order for us to learn that he could kill someone.
It could have been like he convinced him more. They could have shown him trying to convince him more that like, yeah, this will be fine. And you could see the guy really resisting it, but then eventually being like, okay, but you can see that he doesn't really care.
Right.
Like that would have been a way to do it.
But I do think
his backstory was because it's like they did have a hard time putting like explaining that.
Like,
it was like everything that was heavy handed was him.
Him, exactly.
Yeah. Which was that's like interesting to be like, you guys just couldn't. You know
just
what I mean?
They couldn't do that.
There weren't that many delicate things to do.
Right.
And like with him, you just go, yeah, and that happens.
Right.
Okay, bye.
Okay. And then he kills someone. Okay.
Well, there's I also didn't really like, there was like a short scene in which they start to all like turn on each other a little bit and be like, maybe you're the game master. He knows the most about this and maybe he's the game master. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like what?
Yeah.
Like there was nothing to make them
all kinds of stuff. Like that got me thinking, okay, well then someone must be the game master.
I mean, that would have been cool. That would have been an interesting thing, but for me, it came out of nowhere. And I was like, I didn't understand why they all were all of a sudden suspicious of each other, because I was like, there are clearly cameras everywhere, so none of them have to be the game. Why do you guys think that? Like,
it made no sense.
It was just, but you know what? People act up. Yeah. When they're like
they do.
Dying.
When they about
and
to die.
Like, you know what I mean?
I know.
Like,
that's this, what, this but, room, this room was a time, this room was one of the times when I was trying to think about how he got the clue wrong at the beginning, just because I said I was going to say one of the times. There was another time, but I can't remember it. But this time specifically, there was something in the clue that was like, watch another friend die. And so because there's a TV in this room, I was like, one of the first things I thought was, well, there needed to be two people in that room and someone needed to watch the other person die. That was what I was thinking the whole movie. Then because there was a TV in this room, I was like, oh, they're both not going to get out of this room. Jay's going to be alive in this room and he's going to be, there's going to be a pan out and we're going to see him watching Ben dying in the next room somehow. I don't know why right. I was thinking, but like,
you had to get back yeah, to the beginning.
I just had to figure out why that was a thing and why he got it wrong.
Yeah. So how does he get out of this room?
He like
just falls
grabs
into the
a
thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. He just grabs a thing and then is pushed out of
the fireplace.
Yeah.
Which you kind of don't even know if that's just happenstance.
Right.
Like,
is right.
that like, supposed were you to supposed happen? To die? Was it supposed
well,
to be like, that way?
But maybe he was. So I did like was this because maybe he was supposed to die and maybe he was lucky, because then they have the scene where they kind of talk about it, which again, I didn't necessarily love these next few scenes. But,
yeah.
But the question of was it luck or was it not was cool. And like, and him sort of only getting out because of luck wasn't, I liked that. And then we also see him getting out, but after we know that Zoe is alive, like we know that she is alive
right.
too. So we know that someone outsmarted it. And then we also know that the other person was just lucky. And I thought that
Which is like both worlds of like why someone could be the sole survivor.
I really liked that a lot.
Yeah. Right.
Even though I didn't love these scenes, I really liked that as a
right.
idea.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they fully, it didn't seem like the movie was fully aware of that.
Yeah, no, of course not. Of course not.
Like, we didn't know why they just did that and we're rationalizing.
Right.
Why?
And then the thing that's so funny, and I was actually reading a review that talked about this, but like the end of the movie is the reason like it's so bizarre is that it goes from like being this like escape, like these people like who had everything fully planned out to all this stuff and blah blah blah, and like clearly as we know later like have a full plan of like of not getting caught, because like how could they get caught, like they didn't meet anybody, they didn't know anybody, whatever. So like
yeah.
this idea that they were just gonna kill this dude at the end like makes no sense. Like I don't mm-hmm. even understand it. It's like, why not just pay him and then be done with it? Like it to the idea that he was like going to be murdered at the end like kind of didn't fully make sense to me. And then
and then
like even though she like tricked them into thinking that she was dead, there was a part of me that was like, cool. And then she like overpowers like two people that have a gun, like
yeah, and suddenly she's wielding the gun and like perfectly fine at shooting it, and
also like
none of that
made
sense.
She knocked the cameras out in that room, but there are cameras
but not
all
the rest
over
of,
this facility.
That was a hard thing. Like I needed to see like a back tunnel. I needed to mm-hmm. see like something.
But then even though there were cameras everywhere. This is why this was all very complicated and weird. There's then that moment on the screen when they change it to people in play, and she's on the list.
Right.
She's
and
on the
so
list.
Is the
game master.
Game master.
And
it's and like,
then, and then you're like, who put this together?
Yeah.
The game master. This is where you go. So now the people that are running this are just like, well, the game master's in play. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, is this like yeah. Hunger Games? Like, what's happening?
Are they betting on him? It's like, did they just like, are yeah. people watching this live? And then they were just like, all right, let's do it. Like, quick 5-minute bet. Like, who's going to
win? I
mean,
really, like, pull the best photo you have of him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why is the game master?
Someone's at a computer
like,
going,
yeah.
This one.
Like, and then they're like, that's going to work. I mean, that was where you go, you don't have his photo on deck. Like,
right.
You don't have the game master's photo on deck for the game.
Right.
He's never been in play.
What is going on?
And then, there's like, you know, whatever, like this little fight scene where he gets the upper hand and she gets the upper hand. And then we finally, they finally kill him, and then the screen says that she's the winner, even though they're both alive. And I guess she's the winner because threw the final shot.
The screen said that they were both the winners.
Oh, did it? Okay.
It flipped. There was a moment where they were like, they thought he was dead, so they X'd him out. But then when he was alive, they marked them both as winners.
Got it.
Okay, so someone was watching them and whatever.
So they both won, which is like, okay. And then I guess there was nobody else there to stop them, or they didn't care, which, again, if they didn't care, why did they not just leave that dude alive in the first, like, just give him $10,000. Right. I don't understand. I didn't understand.
We just have a lot.
They go to the hospital and like she's not in the hospital. He is, and then they take her back to that building for some reason, which is like traumatizing.
Which is, I was honestly like, so this is not how this happened.
Yeah, like no way. No way would they take her back to this building.
Like, are you are you ready now? It's like, no, it's been 4 hours.
Right. Also, the thing that I loved about this the most is that they already like clearly did their like sweep and everything. So they basically bring her back to be like, you were wrong, by the way. Like,
right. Yeah. You're a liar. You psycho.
They didn't need to do that. Showing her pictures of the place is fine.
There's so much that would it, like they didn't need to do.
They bring it up.
But then there's a clue there. There's a clue there. No way out.
But also, you know, what is this operation? How did you clear the building?
Right.
We still live on Earth. Right. So I just need things to be a little bit more like, you know, we're still on Earth and time is still time. Like, don't trick me. Because, like, you had a shaft with a pool table that, like, flipped upside down that was, like, you know, 200 feet deep.
Right.
Like, you didn't clear that out.
Right. You didn't move it. There was no time.
The game master was just murdered. Like, right. you guys have just been, like, so royally screwed over. And now you had enough to detail this to make it look like nothing. Like, the level of intricacy involved in that.
It makes no sense.
But then, once again, I rationalized it. I had to for the other eight movies. Because
it wasn't like they just torched it. It was like they like broke down the entire building.
The building aged 20 years.
They like redid, like put in like a full new set. And I mean, once again, unless we have like aliens or like space going on.
Yeah.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
But then the movie is not over here because there is literally there are literally two more sequences after this, which is insane. But we see the plane crash,
first it says 6 months later, and it's like the two of them looking them. Great. Mm-hmm. Looking like
they
just
look great,
just different.
They're just he's different. Clean shaven, and
he's dressed.
They're all dressed nice. Up, and they're like sipping little drinks. Like
they're like on the Chicago River on a veranda.
Right. It makes no. I didn't like this.
Best lives.
I didn't like this because too much time had passed. They didn't feel like the people that we had just went through this journey with.
Like, I don't think you would be better that. Like, I think, like, it was
Six
interesting. Like, it was like, oh,
long.
They, no.
You don't trust any person that you meet or any room that you ever go into ever again, I think.
No.
Right?
No, you're not okay. You guys are meeting in a back alley and you're both on drugs.
Right.
Yeah. anyway, but then she's like, so I've been like doing some research and I figured out, they left clues to find them, like, which is okay. Yeah. Like, this is if you break this down, it's like these are coordinates, and like there's an unmarked building in Manhattan, and they're hiding in plain sight, and we got to go there. And he's like, that's insane. We're not in New York. And she's like, I bought plane tickets. And he's like, we need to just let this go. We survive. Like, you have survivor's guilt, which is 100% correct, by the way.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, you have survivor's guilt. Like, and he's like, they can do this to more people. And it's like, it really is not our job to solve this. And she's like, come on. And he's like, okay.
I hated that. Right. I hated him agreeing to do it.
Right.
I was okay. I was like, if we have to be in this scene, cool. But him ever agreeing to it in this moment is not what I need to see. It felt
so wrong.
You guys
are like, do you remember what just happened to you? Like, it's 6 months. Like, I hurt my knee and it took me like 7 years to get over the trauma.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You guys, come on. What's going on?
They're not game to go.
In my mind, I'm like, what do they think they're going to do? Like, they're going to just roll up on this building?
Yeah. No, because this what I liked was it was like now they're superheroes. They're gonna go. they're gonna escape room. You know the shit out of this. This is gonna be great.
But I mean, this is a company that once again was able to make a building that had like millions of escape rooms that were insane able to disappear in like hours and make it look normal. So that is who you're rolling up on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And take out three different bodies and then like fake their deaths in three different ways. Like
So that's who you're rolling up on, but okay.
That's who you're rolling up on. Like they have so much money. They clearly have so much money and like so much security, like there's zero way you're going to be able to do. Like, what are you gonna?
It's like you're literally like, we're gonna go to the Pentagon.
Yeah,
like that's what you just said.
That's what you just said.
You're gonna go to the Pentagon.
You're just gonna go,
and you're gonna get in like the most secret room and like find whatever it is. It's like,
yeah,
that's
and do
tough
what? Like, even if you found it, like, what are you gonna do?
Do what? Right.
And you're apparently going with the one other person on Earth that you know and hang out with.
Right.
Like there's like, no other people for you.
Right. It's like, I think you need to get like someone else involved from like law enforcement. Like that should be your biggest ploy getting law enforcement.
So then we have the plane scene where it's like, we're like, okay, are they going to, or like, it was this funny thing of like, in my mind, I was like, is it just showing that like, oh, they're right. They got to break that. They got to stop this. Cause look, these people are screwing with people on an airplane. And then there was a part of me, it's like, I was like, oh my God, are they on this airplane? And then you realize that they weren't on the airplane. And then you think this plane is going to crash. And then it's like, oh, nope, it's a simulation. And then it's like, oh, no. This is preparing them for another escape room on an airplane.
Which, like, it was like, okay, fine, do that. I didn't need to hear the puzzle master or the game, which I can't remember the levels, but there's the puzzle guy and there's the game guy.
The puzzle master is the guy who creates the puzzles.
Okay. And then the game master is
the head. The game master conducts the games, even though he did
the puzzle master,
not do that.
I didn't need the jigsaw puzzle master at all. I didn't need this at all. But we just learned that they're superheroes and ready to go. And then we learned that the supervillain is also ready for them. And I'm like, okay, let me see. I will watch this 15 more times.
Right. And then you said, I'm buckled up again.
I have fastened my seatbelt.
I have fastened my seatbelt and I'm ready for this wild ride.
I pulled the strap so that it is tight on me. I am ready to go. Okay.
Yeah.
They got me.
Yeah, they're like, all right, well, now they have to solve the puzzle of the, you know, airplane that gets shot down, I guess. I don't know. Also, how they knew that they were coming to them is crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean it's
crazy.
It's all of that stuff that we saw before. Like, he has the jacket for some reason. They know that you'll go down in history is the last thing they said before he hit.
Yeah, but, like, they should have been a little bit more careful because, like, to be quite honest, do they not remember how they got into this?
Yeah.
Like, they remember the intricacies of everything of, like, your, like, trauma. So it's like, yeah, they're probably going to know you bought plane tickets.
Yeah.
You guys gotta keep up with the times.
They're hiding in plain sight? No, they're baiting you.
Right.
Like, they want you to
do it. Like, they're just like, clues. Okay, bye. Didn't know who you guys were. It's like, no, we brought you here. We sent you a magical cube to like solve a puzzle and like we know everything
and
about
you. And we pretended
you.
To be your friends. Like
they said that.
The thing that they realized was that they pretended to be their friends. Like that is a How did they get that deep?
Right.
Remember the, I forgot who said it, but somebody was like, I got a text from my friend today telling me to have fun at the escape room. Like, they hacked my friend's phone and sent me a text from their phone.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, the, the level of, they know who you are. They have every, like, power. It's, anyway. So, yeah, I truly don't know how you make a sequel to this, because it doesn't feel like there is one.
You just keep doing it.
You just do it.
You just keep doing
it. Just like you did it this time. You just do it again.
Do it again.
All right. They should have just had them die at the end. They should have just had them on that plane crashing and being like, damn, they got us.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Final Destination ending of, like, we know that Devon Sawa is now about to die. Right. That's kind of how it ends, even though that's not how he ended up dying. But it's like that. We were like, he's about to die right now, is sort of how that movie ended. Yeah. But instead, superhero team up, which I can't wait.
Well, that's that.
That's that.
I don't have a Dear Hollywood.
The only thing that I want to say is we could have walked into one of the rooms, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then there's a big orange couch, you know what I'm talking about? What? The Keenan Kale hop out with orange soda, okay? With the ham, you know what I'm talking about? And then the room is, they have to figure out how to get out of the room, but Kale keeps messing it up in deadly ways. I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah. You know, that's a sequel.
that's in part
two. That's a sequel.
Yeah. That's an escape room too.
You proud of that? You proud of that bit?
I'm very proud of it. Okay. I got a big smile on my face.
All right. Well, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like a film fully helped the cause, we give it a Black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think, man, this film really didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. You guys ready?
Okay.
On the count of three, we're going to give our ratings. All right, here we go. One, two, three. All right.
Okay.
I got a Black fist.
We got two Black
fists
over here.
We got two fists over here.
All right. We got three Black fists. Brianna, do you want to go first?
Well, I mean, it's kind of undeniable. I mean, the guy from Insecure, what is his name?
Jay Ellis,
one, giving him like a film role, building out, and you know, he has like the most backstory in the whole thing, and that's also going to do a lot for his career. Showed his body off, had body for
days.
We got
to see that body.
It's just, you saw him as less of a pathetic character, which is what he's like in Insecure, so that's just giving you another side. And then the lead actress, what is her name?
Taylor Russell.
Taylor Russell, she's amazing. Building out, I saw her in Lost in Space, but like seeing her more, I mean, they're like the most interesting people in it.
Yeah.
Who could argue?
Yeah, 100%. I agree with everything you just said. Exactly. Who can argue? I think she is fantastic in Lost in Space, and I can't wait for what she does after this. She was so good in this, and also just very clearly she can really play that but these two characters being somewhat similar in that, like, she's like super smart and like you know, that she does that really well. So I mean, you know, she could be the next Ripley. That's just I'm just gonna put that out there. That's my Dear Hollywood. The next Ripley is Taylor Russell. But yeah, and Jay was fantastic. Oh, and also, you know, I keep saying superhero, but her superhero moment at the end is really great.
Yeah,
that was like,
you
that was
see
like
her.
Really powerful and really strong. So like, I would love to see her in more stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I gave it a Black fist for the same reasons. And it's also a type of movie that I love because, we have people of color. We have three, people of color, as leads of this movie. And it wasn't a thing, like, you know what I mean? Like, they just got to be the leads of like a cool, scary movie. It wasn't about them like being in the hood, there was no like, and there's something about just the fact that like, they got to just be these like interesting characters in this like concept film, and it didn't have to be a thing. That they were Black, you know?
Yeah, it's so rare too. You like never see that. Like this would have been considered a quote unquote black movie 10 years ago.
But it would have been about how he's now this business guy and like he can't go back to the hood and he had to get himself out and he had to cut himself off. And hers would have been like, my mom died and I'm like so lucky to go to this school and it's only because I'm smart, but like everyone I know is poor. Like that is how black people would be in these films. And this was just like, no, she's really smart and she's traumatized. Yeah. And like he's kind of, he's an asshole and he was like had a trauma and they're just like in the movie.
And these are all great, these are all great actors who are actors, you know, like no offense to the Kelly Rowlands of the world, but like, it's like they, you know, we got some people who are actually acting and not.
She was good in that movie, though.
No, yeah, she was fine.
She was good in Freddy vs.
You're
Jason.
Like, I see the comparison, but like, she was good.
But, and that's all partly because they all had great television roles, you know, and this is what happened. So we're seeing that change, which is really exciting. It's like, now you have people, because they had opportunities to shine in television, now they get to start leading some movies, you know? And that's what happens when you actually, you know, you give representation to people in all of the industry. Anyway, all right. Well, Brianna, thank you so much for coming. Do you have anything you want to plug?
I was just talking to James about this. I feel like you could just Google me,
just Google
Brianna
her.
Baker, or you could just go to my Instagram, which is BEDES. Otherwise, you know, see you around.
I love it. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We got some merch, guys. We got t-shirts and hoodies, phone case covers.
Yes, actually, TeePublic.
Really cool. All by TeePublic. If you go to our website, BlackMenPodcast.com, you click on the merch link, it'll take you to all of that merch. And if you are in, well, this will come out, if we're gonna release this tomorrow, then if you're in New York City tonight, there's a show 9 p.m. at the UCB East Village Theater Astronomy Club. You can follow me at John Braylock. JohnBraylock.com is our website. That's all for me.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
And if you rate and review us 5 stars on iTunes, we'll read your review on the air. I don't think I've read this one yet.
Okay.
Hopefully that's true. This is by Legitimate Lizard Mom.
I've never heard you say that name out loud, so I don't think you
did. Yeah, I don't think I did. Okay, it's titled Hilarious, Intellectual, and Informative. Y'all, if y'all not listening to this podcast, then what are you doing with y'all's life? These guys are really doing it, keeping people woke on what problems we, black people or people of color, are still facing today in the movie industry or in any industry. I wish I had a group of friends like y'all. I can just talk about real stuff like this every day. Y'all are the best. Sorry for all the y'alls. I'm from Texas. LOL.
I appreciate every single y'all that was in there.
I loved it.
Oh, man. Great. So thank you guys so much. Next week, I think next week we'll be doing Save the Last Dance.
Okay, Save the Last Dance is coming out finally. We recorded this several months ago. I feel like we recorded it in August and it's finally coming out.
Yeah, we had a couple of new films. I don't know, who knows what else after that. But thank you so much for joining us, Brianna, and we'll see everybody next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!